Hi, Juliet the Rabbi here, coming to you from New York City. Shabbat Shalom. Today I'm going to talk about Bamidbar. We're starting the book of Bamidbar. If you hear an echo, it's because I'm in a place where I'm not usually. I'm visiting a friend on the beach, and I'm in a room that has nothing on the walls. It's a nice room, but it has nothing on the walls. So there's an echo. So I've been here for a few days, and she lives on the beach. Yes, it's the same one. Maybe you remember I talked about this several months ago, back in November, when I went into the freezing cold ocean. And I want to tell you first about this community, because as I walk along the beach in her neighborhood, I'm amazed by the mixture of people from all walks of life, of all races and ethnicities and religions, and it's just amazing. It's one of the things that she loves most about this community and why she chose it. She happens to be Polish, and her partner happens to be Black and from the Caribbean, and it's the only place where they feel, it's a place where they feel comfortable, because there's so many beach communities that are so exclusive, you know, to the south of her and to the north of her. And so this is really a unique community here. You know, many beaches are reserved for the wealthiest among us, as if money gives them the entitlement to access the ocean. But one of the things that the Torah reminded us of last week is that the land does not belong to us or anyone else. It belongs to God, however you wish to define that very heavily loaded word. So while I've been here, I've had continued conversations with the couples that are soon getting married by me as their rabbi. And this week I spoke with a couple who are both Jewish. And it's obvious that they're connected to Judaism by a very thin thread. They don't know how they feel about God. And according to them, they don't quote unquote practice Judaism in any obvious way. And they also don't know why they feel the need for a rabbi to officiate at their wedding. But they do, and they stated it. And they're like, I don't know why. And they're so apologetic about their lack of enthusiasm for Judaism. It feels like they wonder if they should even be counted as Jewish. I keep reassuring them that I understand, because I do. I was once like them, in so many ways, confused about my desire for Judaism, unsure of what or how much of it I wanted, always wondering if the ways I was Jewish, quote unquote, counted, feeling I wasn't Jewish enough because I didn't do enough Jewish things. It was all so vague in my mind. As you know, if you've been listening, or you know me, I was raised an atheist in a Jewish home by two Jewish parents who identified strongly as Jewish, and yet they raised me as an atheist. So it was all really confusing to me why I had this desire for Judaism. And so all of this brings up big and heavy questions of who gets counted as Jewish, who counts as in and who's out. Meanwhile, I continue to receive messages from colleagues who challenge my advocacy for greater inclusivity in the Jewish community. They think my fences around Judaism are too low. And sorry, you'll have to listen to my previous two podcasts to get a better picture of why I say this. I'm not going to repeat it all, because that's not fair to the people that have been listening or reading. Again, you can go to my blog at realrabbinyc.com to find those blogs, or you can listen to these podcasts from the last 2 weeks. So, getting back to the subject here, does anyone question this Jewish couple's legitimacy as full Jews based on their Jewish practice? According to our rules, the question is, are they in or out? And what are those rules based on? So, of greater concern for many Jews for Jewish authority is the fact that both of these people, both members of this couple, have parents who converted to Judaism. The questions are, were they male or female? Who converted them? Are they counted as legitimate, those who converted them are counted as legitimate authorities of Jewish law? Did they convert before or after their children were born? If they converted after, then were they, the children, officially converted? The answers to these questions are apparently not sufficient for most rabbis to agree to marry them. I finally figured out that's why they couldn't find, why it was so hard for them to find a rabbi to marry them. And all of this makes me really, really sad because they want to be counted as Jewish. And like I said before, Jews that don't practice Judaism at all, just because they supposedly have Jewish blood, nobody questions that they're Jewish. Nobody questioned that I was Jewish, even though I was an atheist. My parents didn't question it. They said, no, you're Jewish and you should always say that you're Jewish. So it's all so complex and it's so difficult. And for the interfaith couples, it's even more complicated. The first couple I met felt so reassured by my long interfaith marriage of 35 years and counting. 35 years and counting. They said if they were like, "Oh, if you could make it, then we can too." Because the whole world is telling them that it's not going to work. I made a point of saying that couples like us are the future of the world, literally, because if we don't stop fighting over things like religion and land, we will have no future as a human race, let alone as Jews. We're missing the bigger picture. Right now, we're only a week before the holiday of Shavuos. Thus, we also approach the end of a period of 49 days of counting between Passover and Shavuos. It's called counting the Omer. You're going to understand my connection in a minute. The thing about counting the Omer is that the rabbis came up with a rule. The Torah commands us to count the days. So the rabbis made up this blessing that says that we have to say that we were commanded each day that we count. Before we count. But if you forget one day, then you're out. You're out of the game. You can continue to count the days, but you're no longer allowed to say the blessing. Wow, that always kind of pissed me off, I have to say. It really made me angry. I was like, why? Who made up this rule? Now, Shavuos is the festival of first fruits. Starts next Friday. Next Thursday night. But Shavuos also commemorates the receiving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. It's when the rabbis calculated, according to their method of counting, that we received revelation. They say Shavuos is when Judaism's laws and teachings were revealed to us. These teachings are the teachings of how to live a life guided by a desire to create a society of equity and justice. So I ask, what needs to be revealed today? Last week, through all of this mishigas that I've, all of the challenges that I've gotten on the internet, on this listserv about my decisions to co-officiate with pastors, I was reminded by a colleague of something that the leader of the Jewish Renewal Movement, Rabbi Zalman Schechter Shalomi, said. When pondering the question of what needs renewal in Judaism, there's another question that comes up, he says. How do we know when we're going too far in loosening the boundaries of Judaism? Rabbi Zalman said, and I'm paraphrasing, that we base our answers to these questions on the reality of the world we're living in. So, who counts during the census? We all do. Every single human being counts. When I say my prayers that are in my prayer book that say, have compassion on your people, Yisrael, I have to expand that. I have to say, we are not living in a narrow world anymore. We're coming to it. We are in a different time. I have to pray for everybody, every single human being, and for us all to come together as one to create justice and peace in the world. This is the revelation we need today. Many people are getting it. Many people are getting that revelation. And I want to ask that we pray that more do. The future of Judaism and humanity depends on it. And say amen if you get it too. Thanks for listening, and good Shabbos. Go to my website, realrabbinyc.com. Please count me in, and Bamidbar. And, well, I guess I'll be writing before, so I won't say Happy Shavuos until next week. Okay, until next time. See you then.